Hello, and welcome back this Monday, March the 9th, 2015, to Grace and Peace Lenten Devotional. We are on Lent 17, and today we turn our focus to chapter 5 in Ephesians and verses 3 through 4, which says, "But fornication and impurity of any kind or greed must not even be mentioned among you, as is proper among saints. Entirely out of place is obscene, silly, and vulgar talk, but instead, let there be thanksgiving." You know, when I was younger, so many people and teachers and everything used to say that that how you act and how you behave is directly affected to the people you associate with and who you hang out with and what you watch and what you see and read. And, you know, it kind of goes back to the old adage, you know, junk in, junk out. And I remember, you know, when I was younger, my mother always getting on my case about using proper language. You know, she used to say that when we would say cuss words or whatever, she would say, well, people that use that type of language, they only use that language because they can't figure out something else more meaningful and positive to say. She used to say something like that. I can't remember exactly how she used to say it. It used to sound a little bit more eloquent than that, so sorry. But my point is, you know, junk in, junk out. So if you allow yourself to be influenced by impure things, greed, and fornication, those types of things, then you can expect to, you know, let those things out in a negative way. And, you know, we teach our kids growing up about being proper and using proper language, being able to say thank you and you're welcome and please and all these things that we teach our kids. You know, we look at it as a means of good common sense, that we treat people the way we want to be treated, right? The golden rule. But the reality is, you know, what I said a few days ago is, you know, our society has become a very negative place. And sometimes it's really hard to always control your tongue and the type of language that we use. You know, when we hear negative things, our response is oftentimes, because of our brokenness, to respond in a broken way and use language that maybe we wouldn't normally use, out of anger. And, you know, so we have to sometimes check ourselves and to be reminded that this isn't the language that I've been taught, and certainly not the language that God would like for us to use when speaking to one another in love. And that's what we have been called to do, you know, to speak love to each other and not lash out with words that maybe we shouldn't be saying. To use good common sense can go a long way before we think about saying things that might be hurtful, because you don't know where people are, you know, or why they're saying these negative things. You know, one of the things I try to remember is, you know, to kill people with kindness. You know, no matter how angry someone can be, the easiest way to combat that is just to kill them with kindness, and eventually they'll come around. You know, it's really hard, though, to always remember to give thanks, even when negative things happen to us. And, you know, we often pray for things, you know, we pray to God for that things, certain things will happen in our lives. And when they don't always go our way, we automatically assume that God isn't listening, that God isn't responding. But the truth is that we have to be reminded, and we should remember, that sometimes some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayer. And sometimes that's really hard for us to remember. And, you know, we have to remember that, you know, certain things are going to be challenging for us to always understand. When we try to understand the will of God, you know, we oftentimes will get that wrong because we aren't meant to understand the mind of God. We are meant to process how God loves us and to trust that. And that's really hard. You know, I don't think I've shared this story before, but it's worth mentioning here. And this is kind of personal, but I don't mind sharing it with you. I was dating a man in my home congregation some years ago. He actually was he was actually working as a church administrator at my church. And we just had this beautiful relationship, or so I thought. And I had a lot of fun with him. We went to a lot of places together and shared a lot of things. And then I started noticing that he would kind of push himself away, especially when it came to expressing any kind of emotion. You know, I was really starting to have some very strong feelings for him and shared that with him. And he started to very quickly started to be turned off by that and started pushing me away. And I remember it like it was yesterday, but I remember it was on a Good Friday that he pulls me aside after church and says that he doesn't want to be with me anymore. And he doesn't want us to date anymore. And I was devastated. I was heartbroken. And it wasn't until months later, like I would say, it was probably 7 or 8 months after that, when I was really starting to give some thought about going to seminary. And it was also around that time when I found out, well, he had been fired from the church, and I didn't know why. And it came out that he was embezzling some money from the church and as a church administrator. Now, looking back and all of that, had I stayed with him at that time, you know, going through the process of candidacy would have been a bit of a challenge to sit down and have to explain to my candidacy committee, you know, why I was dating a man who embezzled money from a church and why I should be trusted to work in a church setting. So in hindsight, that the fact that that was a broken relationship ended up being a blessing. But I didn't see that at the time. At the time, I wanted to be angry. I wanted to yell at God, and, you know, because I was tired of, you know, going from broken relationship to broken relationship and things just not working out. But in hindsight, had I stayed with that man, I probably would not have been entrenched into seminary, and I probably would have never become the pastor that I am today. And, you know, it was God's way of kind of stepping in and saying, you know, that maybe this wasn't the right man for me. And thank goodness that that happened, because I have never been happier in my career and in my life right now. It was really hard for me to understand at the time, but I give thanks for that now. I am thankful to God that God interceded and said, you know, at least put something on his heart enough to respect me enough to say, you know, that maybe he needed to end that relationship. And it certainly was difficult at the time, but in hindsight, I look now and say, man, what a blessing that was. And so I say all that, and I share all that personal story with you to say to you that, you know, we never really know when certain things happen, why certain things happen the way they do. But we are called to always give thanks and to always thank God for interceding and for always having our best interests at heart. And we have to learn to trust that. And that's not an easy thing to do. And it's certainly something that, you know, we have to continue to pray on when we acknowledge that God is always listening and always near. Let us pray. Set our minds on you, most holy God, that your grace and peace may flow out of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.